This is the Self-Taught or Not podcast with
Dylan Israel
and Eric Hanchett, where we teach you the do's and don'ts of software development from two software development professionals, one self-taught and one not. Hello. We have a very special edition of Self-Taught or Not today. As always, my co-hostess with the mostest, Dylan, is here. How's it going, man?
Good, good. It's always nice to switch things up. You know, not that you're not lovely to talk to, Eric, but you know, it's always good to get some different perspectives and things from other people.
Yeah, exactly. And today we have a very special guest here today, Julia from Mailtrap. How's it going?
And hey, Railspur. It's going great. Thank you. Thanks for hosting me.
Yeah, thank you for coming on. Thank you for basically the purpose of this podcast today. You're going to educate us on a really cool tool called Mailtrap and also a little bit about you. So I guess we're going to start off. Can you introduce yourself to our audience? Maybe give us a little background and how you joined Mailtrap?
Yep, sure. So I'm Julia or Julia or Julia, so depending on the language. I live in Argentina, but I'm originally from Ukraine. That's why I don't have Spanish accent. I've been working in software development, I guess, my whole life for about 14 maybe years. For the last few years, I've been doing product management. So, and I guess as a product manager, I'm pretty much excited by this intersection between technology, business, marketing, and even a bit of science.
Well, before we go on, what does a product manager do?
Oh, that's a good question. So we joke that product manager is a kind of Swiss knife profession. So we do a bit of everything, and then you connect all the moving pieces. So, for example, we do product discovery, which is like figuring out what exactly to build, how the product should look like. Then we deal with product strategy, and then with things like technical requirements of the product. Then we deal with marketing, with design, and well, we communicate with a lot of people on a daily basis. So something like that.
That's awesome. I know as software devs, we have to sometimes talk with a lot of different teams and a lot of different people in our companies, like product managers and project managers and all sorts of people. It's interesting to know what they all do. So what is Mailtrap? Well, I mean, what exactly do you guys do?
Okay, so everyone on the team has a strong opinion about what a Mailtrap is. For example, we're now preparing a new website, and we had very hot debates when selecting headers and subheaders for the new homepage. So, but basically, it is a service that imitates the work of SMTP. So it captures all your outgoing emails, and it provides you with the UI and API to access those emails. So you can use it with your local server, with your staging or review service, and all the emails will go to Mailtrap.
Oh, that's interesting. So how do you guys work at Mailtrap? Like what's your guys' flow? I mean, how does that work?
So if we talk about Railsway in general, we are a remote team. I think during 2020, everyone has discussed remote work like as much as possible and even more. So we embraced, I guess, all the best practices of remote work. And for Railsway, so this wasn't something new for us. Railsway has been a remote company since like forever. And we were not that impacted by this new normal. But if you ask me about some principles like that work for us as for the Mailtrap team, I would name a few. For example, we have without proper processes, remote work won't be possible, right? So we have the right culture and discipline, I'd say. It may sound obvious, but one should treat the remote work seriously. So it takes some effort to establish your own working schedule and the workplace itself, but this helps a lot. like for me, it was kind of a surprise last year to see like a lot of my friends, especially from non-tech industries, how they started to treat their work from home. Like some thought it was a vacation, a great opportunity to do home chores. But yeah, and some on the contrary started to work 24/7 and not being able to take a break. So yeah, you need to have this concept of home office to be successful. Then we use synchronous and asynchronous communication. So which means that some things are discussed in real time, either in voice or in chat, and some things take some time to discuss. For example, when we plan a new iteration, we do this synchronously, right? We need quick answers from a lot of people. We do this like in real time. But if I, for example, if I need some details about feature implementation, I would ask this asynchronously because the person would need to gather this information for me. And so they may need me even to double check with someone else, and waiting for their immediate answer would be a waste of my time and unnecessary pressure for them. And one more thing that works for us is that we give other people and ourselves, of course, focused time. Like to deliver big pieces of work, you need some prolonged concentration and zero distractions. So with this understanding, we use synchronous communication very carefully, which means like we do not have these sudden calls or messages containing like urgent or ASAP. So yeah, very carefully.
I had a question about the sort of process here. So a lot of, I don't think too many people know the sort of ins and outs of like email marketing and you know, the challenges that come with it, which is, you know, making sure that it's rendered properly. So like when I was going through the website of how it works, it says, check how the email is being rendered in a MailTrap inbox. Mm-hmm. Is that kind of like a, having not gone through and like tested myself, I read that and thinking like there's more or less three or four major email sort of formats in the background. Like, is it sort of open up in different environments to say, hey, it's going to render in like almost like browser compatibility? Is that similar to what's going on there?
Yes and no. And yeah, that's a good question. So we do not do the exact preview of the email as how it looks in different email clients. So we do the basic preview of the HTML, so you can see in the browser how your mail looks like in different resolutions. So we do that, but we do not specifically preview how it would look like, for example, in Gmail or in Outlook. But what we do, we have this feature to analyze the HTML of the email, and we provide the report specifying which HTML, which code will not work in certain clients. So you can get a list of the lines like with the comment like this line will not work for Gmail or this CSS attribute will not work for Outlook, please replace it with this and that.
Okay, and then it looks like it gives you other analytics on it as well regarding like the spam score. It's like I know I have had email lists that I've sent, and no matter what I try, it always seems to go into spam, even though people signed up for the list or people yeah. like, you know, they're act like they want to get these emails. Are there certain things you can do in your email formatting to lower your spam score? And like, these are things that will be referenced to make it more likely not to go in the, you know, that direction, mm-hmm. more in actual people inboxes.
Yeah, that's right. So you can check whether your email is likely to be classified as spam or not, even before you send it to the real recipient. So you can use different analyzers, like Spamasize and like, or in our case, we also have this analyzer. So, and it suggests you that what exactly to improve. So which criteria it thinks, the analyzer thinks would make your email less or more likely to be considered as a spam. This can be some email headers. This could be some errors in your HTML. This could be some exact phrases that you use in your email. And well, nobody knows those criteria for sure, right? This is kind of classified information from the email services. Like if everyone knew which algorithms Google used, then we'll have a lot of inboxes of spam. But yeah, so there are some tools, including MailTrap, which analyze based on the best practices your email and its likeliness to land in the spam folder.
Yeah, that's pretty neat. I mean, that's a really good feature. I mean, being able to try to analyze like why your emails are not showing up or being put into a different folder, and mm-hmm. and I know that it seems like if you take a step back, like if email, like constructing emails and making them look right, is like an art form in itself, and you have to kind of like take a step back. It's almost like 20-year-old technology because they don't support all the different tags, and different browsers or different email clients support different things. So it's cool that this tool will definitely help. I know also, I mean, do you think that's like the major part why you think email testing is important? Like what are some other things that make testing email important? This is something that I actually haven't done too much of. My company started doing some email testing in the past, but.
Mm-hmm. Well, as you mentioned, so this is quite an old technology, and if you ask me, it won't go anywhere anytime soon. Because it's quite a cheap and scalable way to communicate. And if we try to remember, like almost all the products and services that we use, they communicate with us via emails, like online shops, sales, payment systems, social networks, I don't know, even government and some offline places. Like I'm subscribed to the newsletter of my theater here. So we receive a ton of emails, and this is very popular automated communication channel, so like everyone uses it. Then, since it is so popular, your company's credibility can be affected because of the broken emails. So, like, what are your thoughts when you receive an email with the broken UI, right? Or when you have to look for it in the spam folder, or when the email arrives 2 hours later? Like, for me, it's a signal that the business has problems. They either can't afford right specialist, or they don't care enough about customer experience, or that they have like the broken processes in the company in general. Then I think that it's important because right now we use a lot of automated email sequences, and they become smarter and smarter, and they require proper testing. Like besides the single transactional emails, like Pursuit Reset, for example, and like one-off seasonal marketing emails, the products and services use complex scenarios. For example, some onboarding emails based on your behavior, or you like receive educational emails depending on what feature you used and how, or like emails that remind that your credit card will expire soon, which are sent to the first a month before, then a day before, then when it is past due. So those sequences are complex, and they require complex triggers, and thus it's more possible to introduce some bugs there. So it's highly important to test those. And it won't be correct to say that email testing is for developers and QAs only. So there are many tools right now to automate some business processes, and non-technical teams use them too. And including to automate email sending. Like, for example, in Railsware, we automate hiring processes or finance processes, and email notifications are a part of those processes, right? And the teams use some tools to make their lives easier. And it's important also to test how your automation finally looks like.
Interesting. I want to break that down because that's a lot of information you gave there.
Okay, sorry.
No, that's good. Like sequences, you mentioned there, like you can have educational sequences and things like that. Just you said that they have complicated different pieces to it. Like, what is if you had to break down a sequence to someone that wasn't familiar with like email marketing, like what is a sequence and how does that work?
Mm-hmm. Okay, and to give a note here, so I'm not talking only about marketing emails. So we have, to make a step back, so we have marketing emails, obviously, and we also have transactional emails. And transactional emails are those that are triggered by some user's action. So this could be password reset, this could be some invite, this could be like a mail containing my invoice. So something that is not promotional, but rather informational. And so there are sequences of marketing emails, and there are also sequences of transactional emails. And let's imagine a situation when you have some account and this account has some limits. For example, limit on the number of the emails that you can send. So, and first, there is a sequence to feature, functionality, whatever, to notify you that your limits are reached. So first, you should receive the email notification that you are about to reach your limits in your account, like to exhaust all your limits. And after that, after some time, you receive the notification that your account was blocked because you've reached all your limits. So here we have a simple sequence of two emails. So the first one is to notify that you are about to reach some limit. And the second one is to notify that, okay, you've hit this limit, your account is now blocked. And now imagine that if the second email notifying you that your account was blocked arrives before the email that warns you about that you're about to hit your limit. So obviously this the emails in this sequence were not correct. So basically it's something that has different steps, let's say. So if we were talking about marketing and onboarding email, so the first email would be like generic welcome email. Thank you for signing up with us. So our service is about this, this, and that. Go and check it. Then the second email in the sequence could be something that explains a certain feature. So the system sees that you didn't use, like, for example, spam analyzer in MailTrap. So the system would send you a mail that would educate you about this feature. So this would be the second email in the sequence.
Interesting.
Earlier we sort of mentioned like that email, you know, it's been around for a while. It's older technology. And like, I just looked up real quick, like that Gmail's been out since 2004, which makes me feel very old thinking I've been using Gmail for 17 years. I was just curious, as I'm not somebody who really stays up on email technology, is this a area that is growing in the sense of has the technology sort of reached its final state? Like, are there going to be new features that, because I look at my Gmail, right, and it looks slightly different, for instance, as a sort of just a email client, but I don't know that anything's going to change with it when I think of like what could be new that would be in that sphere. And maybe there is, I just don't know.
Well, that's a good question. So as far as I know, speaking of the technology itself, it's pretty old and no big revolution is there, at least none that I'm aware of. So some things change, like this UI of Gmail, it changes. So there are new email providers like Heycom, which the founders of Basecamp launched not so long ago. I'd say for me, the biggest change in the last years, I don't know in how many years, is that we receive less and less emails from human beings. For example, I cannot remember the last time when I received an email from a real person to my personal inbox. So we have more and more automations. And speaking of some trends, I think we should mention privacy, because it becomes more and more important for people. And for example, this Hey provider, they promote like caring about their customers' privacy as their like advantage as their service. So people want to report less and less like personal and non-personal data to the email senders.
Yeah, I know email has gone. Yeah, it feels like there's certain standards that just can't change and they don't change very much. So it feels like it is a little bit of older technology. I heard of Hey.com too. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, this is an interesting kind of take on email. I think they have some unique, I haven't tried it, but I heard they had some unique sorting and ways to keep your inbox and inbox cleaner. I think what we're seeing is so many people at least personally, I receive so many emails that you're right, Julia. I don't see like the real personal person anymore. It's just a marketing company or someone that I know that probably sent this to 10,000 other people. I actually have been emailing some friends just personally, you know, just like, hey, how's it going? You know, instead of, you know, hitting them up on social media or something or Facebook, bringing back, like, you know how old school people have been bringing back the letters? I'm bringing back the personal emails. That's what I'm doing.
Okay, good luck, let's see.
let me take one more question on the developer and manage. You had mentioned that this tool MailTrap is not just for your QA and developers, but like managers can use it too. How do managers use this app, and what would they use it for?
So managers could use it in a bunch of different ways. So the first one would be to collaborate with the developers, right? So if you, for example, me as a manager, so I participate in this development process more or less. And the benefit is that in Mailtrap, you have access to all the testing emails that there are there. Then if we talk about non-development activities, that you could use, for example, I'm a manager or I'm, I don't know, a finance person, and I configure some automation for my process. Let's say I automate sending out the invoices, like on the weekly basis, let's say. And I use some third-party tools. So I can use a certain email address, and all the emails that my automation sends, they would be captured into Mailtrap. And there I could check like which exactly emails went out, were they okay, did they contain the right information. So that's why before sending the real invoices to the real people, I would check this in Mailtrap.
That makes sense. And do you, I mean, typically your customers are sending emails out to thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people, I'm guessing. So it's really important to get these right before they sent out, right?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Like you'd mentioned before, if you send out an email out to someone and it doesn't appear correctly in their email, yeah, they're going to probably, it's not going to look very professional on you.
Yeah, and my favorite quote of one of our customers, it's like, it's one of those services that you do not think you need until you accidentally email all of your customers from your development environment. So I think many of us have been there, and well, it's fun to recall such situations like over a beer, but it is not fun to deal with it. Like it's similar when you mix up production and staging consoles and accidentally delete a database or something.
And your interface, going back to like managers and a lot of other people can use it. So it's a, you can collaborate basically inside the app. People, it allows multiple different types of users, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so this is, our monkey just love this phrase, and they use it a lot, like convenient collaboration within a team. So, well, it sounds great, right? But I bet they never experience this pain when you do not have this convenient collaboration. So I worked as a QA for many years, and back then we didn't use any proper tools to send emails from non-production environments. And well, the developers were fine with it because they could run certain commands to generate the email and get its content when needed. But for the rest of us, it was a disaster. So each time you needed an email to test it or just to click a link from that email to activate your account, you had to ask the developers. And even when we used real emails for testing, I had to keep a system of several test email inboxes. Why? Because like when you're testing something, you need a lot of testing accounts. And it was hard to keep track on all of them. Disposable emails could be a solution there, like services like MailNator or MailDrop. But in my case, we were limited many times by the NDA because the content that you send to those services, it is publicly available. These are my flashbacks from the past. But in general, yes, so Mailtrap allows to anyone on the team with a different level of accesses to get the content of all the test emails in one place. So this is really a painkiller.
Nice. And I want to touch on the API for a second. So basically you can, as a developer, me and Dylan, of course, are developers. So I could just write my own tests using your API and basically talk to the Mailtrap servers and do everything inside that way. Is that how I would do it? Is that how it works? Or
yes. Yes, you're right. So it's kind of our advanced feature, and it's about to automate your testing, either to test your code or to create some regression test suites. So, and I think everyone who tried to automate email testing using some UI, for example, Gmail UI, they know how fragile those tests are. Like, you always receive errors like element not found or timeout errors. So accessing email content via API is helpful. So you just make the API call and you receive in response all the information you need.
Do you know if people like integrate in your API testing with their existing testing frameworks? Like, I think there's, I'm not familiar with a bunch of them, like Qtest or things. Is that how they normally do it?
So you get a dependent. So if you're a developer, we saw people launching those tests directly from their code, so without any framework. If we're talking about QA, then people use API in or using Postman tool, or like they do these calls from Selenium. So depending on what tests you run, but yes, you can use you can use API from like any third party tool or directly from your code.
That's really interesting. Like, I've noticed this shift in the last few years. Maybe it's been happening even longer, where QA has just, there's so many great tools for QA to use to make tests like this and to really test all parts of the app. I mean, I remember years ago people were like using Excel spreadsheets and just manually testing features of their app, and now they use tools like Selenium and Postman and a bunch of others, and then they can use APIs like this to have really sophisticated tests. It's really cool.
Yeah.
When running some of these like HTML checks, I'm looking through some of these articles on it. It gives you kind of a percentage score based off of, you know, what email client it's testing against. And I'm just curious, like sometimes when you run some of these checks, like in the browser, to be like, oh, hey, what is the perfect score? Is that actually a reality where you can get sort of 100% compatibility with a decent thing? Or is this just one of those things where it's kind of like, if I cater it more to Gmail, then maybe I lose something in Outlook, and you sort of are in that maybe 75 to like 85% ideally range?
So nice question. So if you are, if you have this like personal trait, if you want everything to be perfect, then yes, it is possible and you can reach this 100%. But again, this depends on your goals. So if you know that like 90% of your customers use Gmail, why would you optimize for other clients if it takes some extra effort and you do not have time, for example, for that? So if you want to see this number just to be more calm, then yes, you can optimize. And yes, it is possible, but again, you'll need to play like with different HTML tags and some properties to make things work for across all the email clients. But well, my rule of thumb is that something should be good enough, right? So it shouldn't be perfect. When it is good enough to cover like the majority of your customers, and you double check that your mail looks pretty good in those clients, then perhaps you could stop there.
Yeah, I'm guessing like getting 100% would be a really long time and a lot of different tweaks. But I some large organizations probably do spend that amount of time to make it perfect. And I know, yeah, I mean, looking at your homepage, you do have quite a big, huge organizations that use this product, which is awesome. Like SendGrid, Adobe, Atlassian, which is amazing. That's great.
It's also worth mentioning that there is, for people looking into checking it out, there is a free pricing tier to test on personal side projects.
Yeah, that's true. So, and with this free tier, you have one inbox for your project. So we organize our work inside the Mailtrap inside by inboxes. For example, it's common for our customers to have inbox for local machine, inbox for testing server, inbox for staging server. So in some cases, people have hundreds of inboxes for review service where a certain feature is deployed. But yeah, with the free plan, you have one inbox and you can use it for your side projects or for or whatever projects you've got.
Yeah, I mean, that's awesome. That's cool that you guys have a free plan. I mean, it's almost no brainer. Just go and check it out and see if it works for you and your team. And then it scales up nicely too. It looks like there's an individual plan that's and not that much more, $10 a month, and it goes up from there. So yeah, it's a perfect way to start in. Cool. Dylan, do you have any more questions?
No, I've just been sort of looking through some of the blogs, and I did some email templating way back in the day, and anytime I ever tried to add some features, it was always a broken one thing, another, and something like this I can definitely see the value of. And like, even if you just sort of think about enterprise level, like, so, you know, most times people don't realize, like, if you're dealing with someone like Adobe, they're sending out millions of emails every time they send out a single email. And like, you know, every time you cost, it's costing money and brand confidence and things like that. So, you know, pretty cool tool.
Absolutely. Very cool. Is there anything we missed that you want to talk about?
So we could cover, maybe give our listeners a few advice of what email parts to test. So if you're into email testing, what should you pay attention to? So
sure. Well, yeah, let's talk about it.
Yep. So it may sound trivial, but I would suggest to test the content. So besides the HTML and CSS template, you should test the wording. And I would recommend to do this as a team effort. Why? Because engineers, who usually, no offense, but engineers who usually create those emails, they could use terms that are perfectly understood by them, but that are confusing to the end users. So that's why it's important to review the content and include your non-tech team members to this round of content.
Your non-technical team members would just, like, they can use MailChimp and they can just read the content of the emails,
yes.
Just to do a quick sanity check to make sure it makes sense. Okay. And doesn't have any misspellings.
Yeah, exactly. Then I would recommend to test all the links. Like, you know, there are people who click those links in the emails. And for example, we use a popular tool for to collaborate on documentation, and it sends notification each time someone leaves a comment to your document. And each time, like, I'm excited to check the comment, but when I click on the link, it lands me on the main page of the tool and not on the comment itself, and like the whole point of this email is lost.
Oh, I've done that before. I've sent out emails with the wrong email link, and I'm like, dang it. The first time I sent out my I actually have a book I sold a few years ago, and I just released it, and I sent an email to my list. I'm like, you can buy the book here, and it was the wrong link. I'm like,
yeah.
Anyways, so, go on. Sorry.
No, this is a really good example. Then, so we talked a bit about the sequences, but yeah, so test all the sequences. And for that, it's important to see in which order your customer receives all the email communication from you. It's important to have like a single place where you can track all the emails sent to the same user. So you will see, and many times you'll be surprised that the email communication is so much broken for your customers, because oftentimes you do not track the whole picture, like the big picture, when you see like in which order and which exactly emails the person receives, because there are marketing, there are transactional, and the teams that send out those emails, they do not always synchronize well with each other. So it's important to test all the emails that you send to a single person. And if we talk about some tech stuff here, I would suggest to test the email headers. So the email has two parts. It's like the body of the email, the part where your message is visible, and the header of the email. So the header contains the subject line, the recipient, like the sender, and other useful metadata. Like my favorite metadata would be category. So it is not widely used, but depending on your email sender, you can set the category using special syntax. For example, in SendGrid, you can add categories using the XSMTP API header. So it could be like invoice email or invitation or password reset category. So, and it is useful to gather the statistics. For example, if you want to track the open rates, you can obviously you can track the average open rates of all your emails, but it is much more useful to track it by a single category. So if you want to track how your email performs. So yeah, I would recommend to test this helpful metadata.
Wow, I didn't even know there was like a category metadata. That's interesting. Yeah, so like links, the sequences, the headers, all great things, triggers. There's all sorts of things that you should think of when you want to test an email. I'm learning a lot this episode.
I'm glad. So there is also layout of the emails, but I think everyone already pays enough attention to it, maybe because mostly email layouts are approved with CEOs or with other executives. So everyone feels like, okay, we must test the layout. It should be perfect. But all other parts, yeah, they usually deserve and they receive, less love. And I think part of the problem that emails are not that very thoroughly tested is that it is actually hard to test them, especially when they're still in development. So how would a team get the email that is being developed? So yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. The layout, that's an interesting one. In my email providers, I always just, do like the plain text. I'm like, I'm not gonna do any layout. I'm just gonna do like text because I just don't know of what to do.
Well, you're really old school because people try to add anonymous videos, GIFs, and like very interactive elements to the emails, and it's rare to receive like just plain text.
Yeah, I definitely need to start upping my email game and trying to figure out how to make them look nicer. All right, I think we're gonna wrap this up here. So, where can people get some more information about Mailtrap? Some more information about you, Julia.
So our website is mailtrap.io. So you're welcome to sign up with us, and our company website is railsware.com. So you can read our blog. We contribute to it a lot. And you can find information about our team there too.
Awesome. I'll make sure I put the link to those in the description below. Cool. Thank you so much for coming on. And and take it easy.
Yeah. Thanks.
Thank you for hosting me. It was a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you.
Hey guys, thanks for watching. If you want to find more about what I'm up to, go to dylanisrael.com.
And if you want to know what I'm up to, you can check out my website at eric.video. If you haven't already, please leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. It really helps us out. And if you do, you might even be featured on our next episode. Don't forget to check out the website at selftaughtornot.com. From there, you can sign up for a mailing list where we give away free courses and a bunch of cool stuff. And we'll also let you know when the next episode comes out. And finally, if you didn't know, we have a Facebook group. It's called Code, Tech, and Caffeine. We have over 10,000 members, and you can find the link at selftaughtornot.com. So come join us. We have tons of developers willing to help you guys, mentor you guys. Check it out. Just make sure you go to selftaughtornot.com and check out the Code, Tech, and Caffeine link. Thanks, and take care.